Hello there, friends. Welcome to Strangers in the Night, your source for late night VR gaming talk. I, of course, am your host, Wes. With me, as always, are my good friends, Roots. Two Fridays in a row, bro. What's going on?
I don't know. Things are getting out of control. Eric's pissed. He's like ready to boycott the show because we don't have an intro. He's like, he was ready to like, he probably, was he surprised that we told him there was an intro? So he was like, he's doing something else, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. So, you know, when in doubt, lie. But
I
will say,
you guys promised me an intro. What the hell, man? I've been waiting for it this whole time. I'm like, oh man, it's gonna be awesome. You told me the intro was gonna be all about me and like showing pictures of me and everything, and there was nothing.
That would be cool.
I'm waiting for the nighttime Ghost of Tabor map. I'm gonna do the whole intro out of that.
I can do it. I can do it.
Yeah. But yeah, speaking to you, what you were saying, I feel like Friday's just kind of slung it. They like grabbed the show and was like, I'm hanging on. I'm not giving it back to Wednesday. That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, well, the times change, bro, and we have to change with them. And we were just talking about it before we went live. I think Friday night might be the new home for Strangers in the Night. I don't know. We'll have to see how the viewers feel about it. But I feel pretty damn good about it. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, there's somebody out there that like Wednesday is their only night, and they're like, that's fucking bullshit. I'm out.
How dare you?
Sorry. How dare you?
How dare you?
Change is going on all over the place because we just changed the time of our show on Thursdays. Q2C VR Gamer Live is now going to 8 o'clock.
Oh my god!
Instead of 9 o'clock, and we've always gone 9 o'clock.
8 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah, 8 o'clock Eastern. Now we're gonna go an hour earlier.
I think you should go midnight Eastern, and then
you think
D,
you
and then
go like,
D, and then
Q2C
D could
in the
slide
night?
In there because she'll be off.
That
the
would be. That would be, you know, who else likes to slide in there?
My mom. Yeah, she does. She loves it when it slid in. So,
yeah.
JH says it's actually Saturday.
Oh, that's true. Never mind. Well,
damn
for
it.
You,
Strangers
it's 10,
on Saturday.
It's 10:15 for me. So,
well, I mean, with it being Saturday morning, I guess we should probably talk about some cartoony games here in a little bit, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
ET2K9.now says I don't hate it. Techno Glitch likes it. Spry Guy says Friday might be better. People can stay up later on Fridays. That does make sense, right? Like, if you're going to do a late night show, doing it on a work night's probably not the best idea.
And it's a night that people like to, like, hang out and drink or Colorado time out or whatever. It's, like, perfect for the show, you know, to have a couple cocktails. I know Drillo usually does that, right, when he watches the show? At least he usually
Dude,
says
I'm
it.
I'm going to start time. Doing it. We should start doing it. We should start hammering drinks down.
Oh, well, you guys can. I don't drink, but I would. I would. Yeah, it probably wouldn't be good to smoke. But yeah,
you can do it. It's legal.
That's okay. True. It is legal here. So
yeah.
ET2K9 now says, "Was Grandma happy, Eric?"
Yeah, I think classy Grandma was happy. She wasn't happy that I called her really, really old.
Oh well. She's
but
not
other
really.
Than that, she was pretty happy.
She's very young.
Yeah, yeah. She's forever young. Forever young. I told her, I said, look, I'm old too. So me saying somebody else is old is like, you know, like it's like if you're fat and you're like, hey, look at that fat guy. You're like, well, I can say that I'm fat. If I'm old, I can call somebody else old. If I was young and I called somebody old, that would be bad.
Mash, did you never learn? You don't ever question or ask what a woman's age is. You don't comment on
or
a woman's age.
Or say she's fat.
Or say she's fat. Everything you just said is everything you don't do unless you want people to be pissed.
I could be in big trouble here.
Yeah, I'm just going to not say anything because I'm not old like you guys are.
That's right. Well, remember, Anthony thought you were like young kid when we first started the show. Because
He's
like,
right.
He's
absolutely right.
Yeah, Wes is older than all of us.
He does look young. He's very very spry. Spry Wes.
I have a youthful energy about me, huh?
Yep. Yeah. I'm going to shave
this is all the it's all the meth I smoke before we go live.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Nice.
I can't shave. Mash, I think people would be pissed.
It would be weird, dude. It would be weird. Like,
it would be
weird. I don't know. Like, I wasn't watching you guys live when you did not have a beard. So even for me, like, I've seen you without the beard because I've gone back and watched all the old episodes, which we should do that one day. We should just air, like, we should, like, live premiere the first ever episode of Virtual Strangers.
I think we should
watch it together.
I think we should watch the first Q2C with MASH.
No. We're talking about Virtual Strangers now.
Been around a minute. Just hit 3K, by the way, everyone. We did it. Congratulations.
We did it. Congratulations.
And thanks to everyone who very, very slowly took their fucking time pushing us over the line. But we got here.
We did it.
Big numbers. Yeah. That's like the breakthrough, right? You're like, oh, man, 3,000. That's the number. Then everything will just start like.
I want Mr. Beast numbers.
I didn't realize it. I didn't realize it before I started working at Impact. But then I started like reading through all of Jasmine's like industry papers and stuff. And 3K is supposedly the number. Now we have a presence, Roots. Now they're going to start listening to us.
Well, yeah, 2.95. No, sorry, we can't listen to you. Oh, 3,000. Hey, come on in. That sounds cool.
Anyway, we have a pretty good show lined up for tonight. We got some new games, we got some old games, we got some new versions of old games, and we were going to do Firmament tonight. We've been waiting for 4 years. For this game, I got into it for about 30 minutes yesterday and decided we probably shouldn't cover Firmament.
We should probably wait another week or so.
Yeah.
4 years, 1 week is the sweet spot, I think, Wes.
Okay, I'm gonna see if it loads right now, guys. I'm gonna see if it
Eric real can't time. Even get I'm it gonna to see start.
It. Seriously, so. I can't even get this game to load, man. I can't even get it to play flat. Forget about VR. I can't even get it to play flat. So here's
I have not tried it yet.
I just uninstalled it, reinstalled it again. I'm going to try it flat, real time for everybody.
You got to have 64 gigabytes of RAM for it to even
Oh
up
my God, there you go. Screen. That's your problem. I think that's the problem these days. You need at least 12 gigabytes of VRAM to run for a moment.
Well, I ran it with 10. You know, my 3080 only has 10 gigabytes of VRAM. And for what it's worth, it wasn't like unplayable or anything. It just... You could tell it needed a lot more optimization. Mm. Everything was reprojecting, and it would get jerky every now and then when you would turn and move around. And you know, not for nothing, but the game isn't exactly what I would call a modern VR game. I mean, the main means of interacting with things, you can tell that was designed with VR in mind. You have this thing that goes on your arm and like an energy tether comes out of it and you interact with things. And that part of it's pretty cool. The problem is that there's at least early on in the game, there's not a whole lot to interact with. And outside of the things that you're tethering to, you can't interact with anything. It's like you're in a hologram, like your hands go through everything. And I mean, fucking everything. They go through the walls, they go through tables. You can't pick up and interact with anything at all. It honestly seemed like a VR mod to me is what it seemed like.
It sounds exactly like that horror game we just played through. Right.
Well, it's a little bit different when you're talking about something from Wanna Dev Studio, which is a smaller studio.
Yeah, that's true. You're talking about the creators of Myst, right? Like, yeah.
Yeah, and also they're talking about, like, I mean, I don't want to, like, stick up for propagation because I killed it, but I think it was $19 or something like that, right? This is a $30 game. Mm.
Zim ran it on
his development for years.
2 series card. What does Zim have, a 2080?
It'll run
well enough to play. I felt like it wasn't running well enough that we should cover it this week, because I feel like we're going to be shitting on a lot of things that they're probably going to fix. So I felt like it was better to wait at least a week, maybe even longer, depending on it's already got a patch, but apparently the patch broke it for Eric. So
I literally cannot play this game. It won't play.
What are we going to do? Eric's chomping at the bit to play this thing, man. He's been waiting.
I want to see if Roots can do it. Like, I know Wes did because he can do it, but I want to see if Roots can launch it.
You mean even just flat? I can download it. Yeah, let me just download it
and see if you can launch it while we're in here talking, because I think this is super weird. Like, I've uninstalled, I've checked the integrity of the files. I've uninstalled it, installed it on a different drive. I don't know. And then literally was just an update before I did this. So I don't know if it broke it or what. I don't know.
Is it not
available for Family Share?
No, it is. I played it through Family Share. I didn't play it on the Virtual Strangers account.
Right. So I don't know.
Is it on your account?
No, it's on Virtual Strangers account, shared account. And you can get it in your library, though. That's what I did.
I don't see it under there. Under under F.
You need to close Steam from the tray and reopen it. You need to refresh your library. Typical Kiwi says it looks more like a flat game conversion to VR. That's exactly what it is. You know, outside of the one thing, like I mentioned, the interactions with the thing on your arm, it very much just seems like a flat game in VR. Like,
but we've been waiting for this game for a long time, man. For this,
you've been waiting on.
Wait till you climb the ladders,
bro. Yeah.
Wait till you try to climb the ladders. It's gonna be, you're gonna be in for a shock, bro. It's so bad.
Oh, man, this is a big deal, man. There was a lot of people that have been looking forward to this game. I mean, Scion's been looking forward to this game for freaking 3 years, man.
You think he's gonna complain?
You know what, man? No, I was surprised. Scion didn't play it right away, like. I talked to Scion about an hour ago, and he still hadn't booted the game up.
Mm. Wow. Maybe he was nervous?
No, he's been busy doing other things.
He's got a good rig, too, so he should be able to run it.
And he's playing on a CV1, so you can run that.
And for what it's worth, when I played it, I did play on my G2. I'm going to go back in with the Rift S and see if maybe it'll run a little bit better on that. It's possible that lower res screen will help. And you know, the 80 hertz, that doesn't hurt either.
That's true. Wild Hour, the game cat wants to know what the chances are Half-Life Alyx gets announced for PlayStation VR 2 at the showcase.
I mean, I think it's very possible. I mean, we've heard rumors about it. So, I mean, if there ever were a place for that to show up, this would be it, right?
Yeah, dude, that would, I mean, talk about system seller. Because there's a lot of people that wanted to play it originally that didn't have a PC or VR, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
it would be big for sure.
That would
be the announcement of the show. Whatever, I mean, I think whatever else came, that would be the announcement.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, I can't see Valve doing a half-ass version on a new platform that has new features.
No. It'll
probably be the best version of Half-Life Alyx until the next Valve headset comes out, that is.
Those new features would be one of the reasons why I think Valve would enjoy moving it over there, because they like to push the boundaries, right?
I want them to finish the gallery. Gallery 3 is what I want.
I don't think Cloudhead's ever going back to the gallery.
They're working on a, quote, AAA game right now, is what they said.
I know that. I can tell you that the gallery episode 1 and episode 2 almost bankrupt that studio. Saved it by Pixel Whip. Pistol Whip saved them from going under.
I think they're going to stay away from it.
Well, they gave away. Didn't they give away the gallery with like one of the headsets back in the day? Like come with Vive or something?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Old School Gamecat asked, are we talking Firmament? Yeah, we were. We were talking a little bit about Firmament and why we chose not to cover it. Today, because it's it seems not to be ready just yet.
You know what I'm going to see if I can play it on? I can't launch it on my computer, but I might be able to launch it on this.
Oh, did you get your Steam Deck?
I did. I got my Steam Deck.
Nice.
Pretty cool, man.
She loves the Steam Deck.
Yeah, she does.
My mom! I should have got the Asus one.
So I looked into that, and I checked out Jay's Two Cents. I checked out Linus, and I don't know. I heard some bad things about the Asus. I was worried about it.
Mm-mm.
So I went with the Steam Deck.
You know, tried and true. Did you get the OLED one?
I got the darker screen, yeah. I don't know. Is it OLED, though? I don't think it's OLED.
I don't know. There was one that was an OLED, and the other two were LCD, I think, if I remember correctly.
I got the one that has the matte black finish screen on it, so it's like it is the best one you can get, I think. So I don't know if it's OLED or not. I know the Switch had an OLED edition.
Yeah.
But I don't know if the Steam Deck does.
Well, Techno Glitch says he must sleep. Dude, we're coming on early. Like we're going on like a full hour before we normally do. I thought
and
you could
it's
at least
Friday
stay up.
Night.
It's Friday night, bro.
You're in for you cannot go into bad tech. Come on, man.
Yeah. Come on, dude.
I guess we should hurry up and get into it before Techno Glitch passes out from all the drugs and alcohol he's doing. ET2K9.now is here, as is VR Spry Guy, Old School Game Cat, Wild Hour the Game Cat. My wife is here. She's here and she's here. Typical Kiwi, Q Creator, Travel Man 3775, all here.
That music's really loud, Eric.
I don't hear it.
The music from the game that Eric made me start up. And you see, look at my background.
Oh, it did start.
It's like so, doing weird stuff.
So it did start then.
It did.
Yeah. I don't know. It's your fault.
It's your fault, Eric. Man. What are
like
you
me,
doing,
dude.
Bro?
Firmament. I'm now against Firmament, no matter what.
It could be the like best me. Game. It's done. It's done. I'm gonna
it's
trash
to
it. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna start a campaign to review bomb it tonight.
Chase Dennison is here, as is Geisen, Hawk 107, Diego Darko, all present. Lesser Logic is here, as is Wolvraza. You've been getting Wolvraza into Warcraft roots, is that what I'm reading?
I didn't get him into it. He's into it. He's there.
What?
Wait, he may be leveling.
Seriously?
Right now. I don't know.
Hold on. He won't play Ghost of Tabor, but he's playing Warcraft?
Let me explain something to you about Wolvraza, man. He knows how amazing World of Warcraft is, and he is on board. He's a level 7 druid right now, and
I didn't think they had manual reloading in
Warcraft. No. Well, he's a druid. He doesn't need, he's going to be a boomkin. He doesn't need manual reload. It's like magic, you know.
What has the world come to? I can't get Wolvraza into a realistic military sim, and he's playing flat World of Warcraft.
Because I was actually thinking about reaching out to Eric and seeing if I could, you know, like get him to come hang out with us, because I miss hanging out with you. I'll give you a couple months. You won't even have to pay for it. We'll get you in there. You'll see. You'll see the beauty of it.
I can't do it.
The only VR game I know of that's built by actual firearms experts, like trained firearms experts.
Seriously. So I mean, literally, Wes has been there. We have meetings with these guys. The other day, we were in a meeting with Combat Waffle, and the CEO pulls out a fucking rocket launcher from his office. I'm not kidding.
Did he
this
shoot
is the stuff
it
that we
no?
go. Well, of course, yeah.
No. Yeah, of course.
No, but I mean, it was like a mock one. But I mean, he does have literally. I mean, every gun that you, most of the guns that you see in that game, he has in his office in a gun safe, and he like will go get them and just grab them and just like start showing them to.
That's
you.
Cool.
Yeah. For real. Free VR Real Estate's in the chat. Says next Friday show is going to be nuts with all the Sony showcase news to talk about.
Oh, I know.
True that.
No, actually, a few weeks from now, when everybody's showcase is done, then it'll be crazy.
I was just have something every week.
I was just talking to a customer the other day about Apple, you know, and I was telling him, you know, about VR and stuff. And he's actually in IT, has no interest in VR. I told him, I said, you know, Apple's coming out with a headset, and he said he had heard, but it wasn't really too much knowledgeable about it. And I said, they're going to replace your computer and everything. And he said he doesn't want it. He's just not interested, which was weird, right? An older guy, but.
Yeah. People fear technology.
What's the matter with people?
I know, Mash. That's why you need to get into World of Warcraft. What's the matter with you? Why are you afraid of technology?
I am going to. Apparently, I had a Steam Deck. I'm going to start playing some flat stuff.
There you go.
I'm going to play it in my AR glasses, though.
Oh, really?
I'm going to play it in my Rokid AR glasses.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I have so many games that I would like to like get into. Like, I want to play the new Jedi game, but I want to play Fallen Order first because I never finished it. So I'm like, well, if I... I'll play Fallen Order flat, and then I'll go play the reshade version of Jedi Survivor.
There you go. There you go. JH is not afraid of technology, and that's why they're here with us right now, as is James and Mindjive Recycled, all here as well. Boognish 66, Ion the Icon, Salvador. And I think that's as far as I can scroll. Anybody slip in at the end? Like Drippy the Wandering Gamecat says, that guy seems pretty cool. Must be talking about Scott.
It's pretty cool.
I'm thinking about having Scott on and interview him, because I'm fascinated with this guy and his background and like how he gets from Army Ranger to head of a VR studio. There's got to be a story there. So
it's even more like I won't spoil it because it'd be good to have it on. But I mean, he has been into like other things in VR too that you won't even know about, like in like VR esports and stuff. Like he was CEO of the VRL. Mm-hmm. So
a lot of stuff in that guy's background for us to dig into. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he's a willing participant and we can get him on here and talk about something other than the game.
Do you guys
That's
think,
my goal.
Do you think we're closer to Quest 3 than we thought? Like, because
it showed
of
up.
Some of
the, it's showing up on the store now.
That's what I'm saying is like, not saying that that means, hey, you know, it's hands down, it's coming out, they're announcing it. But, you know, is there a chance that they come out and say, hey, I mean, not it's today, but they give us a date and it's sooner than we think?
I don't know. I don't think so, but this is the first time that we've actually have some type of confirmation that it is going to be called the Quest 3, by the way. Because they never haven't come out and actually said Quest 3 confirmed. They just keep saying a future standalone headset. But this thing says Quest 3 in the menu.
And the naysayers like Brad keep saying that there's no chance that they're going to unveil it or talk about it during the next Meta Showcase. I don't think that's true. And I think this is a sign that that's absolutely incorrect, because if they're trying to pretend like it's not a thing, they're doing a terrible job of it. I mean, we've been talking about it for 6 months. It's starting to show up on the fucking Oculus store. Like, it seems like they're about to talk about it, right?
Well, and it showed up in the store right before. It's not like, you know what I mean? It was a month ago, or it just, it's timing-wise, it's pretty sus.
I mean, I guess they could announce it, but not give it a release date.
Right.
Like they could just come out and go, hey, Quest 3, and they could even show it or, like, you know, allude to it or, you know.
It's coming.
You know, do something like that and then just not, you know, wait till Meta Connect to release the price and then the actual date.
If they are going to talk about any games that may be Quest 3, you know, not exclusive, but if they want to say it's a Quest 3 game, you would want them, you'd have to acknowledge the headset exists, right? So, I mean, maybe for that reason alone.
The briefcase again.
I mean, we know. I mean, it's out there. Like, we know. Like, we can't say, but I mean, I already know that I know of titles right now that are going to be Quest 3 launch titles. You know what I mean? So, we know they're out there. So, it's coming. It's just whether when they want to put it out there for the public. You know what I mean? So, it's like the worst kept secret in the world. You know what I mean? Like, everybody knows it's coming. It's basically just going to be down to the price and the exact launch date.
Yeah. So I think we could see some games here and a general acknowledgement that it's coming later this year. They hold the spec sheet off until Connect in October, with a late October, early November launch. Makes sense. Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Samson 143 VR with the $2 US donation. What's good, VR fam? Happy Friday to all. Thank you for joining us, Samson, on this awesome Friday night, Saturday morning. I like it. I already feel at home here, Roots. It's like our new home.
Yeah, me too.
I like it. My wife might not like it, but I like it.
She's like,
the first thing she says, she's like, well, so we're never going out on a Friday night?
Well,
we don't go out to midnight. I said, well, we're home. You're home. Even if we go out, you're home in bed by 10:30, 11 o'clock. We're old, man. I said, where are you going to go? Where are we going then? We're going to be out at midnight.
Besides the fact, is there not any Wednesday nights that you miss?
Yeah, so, no. Wednesday nights are a pain in the ass, man, especially for me, because I usually have meetings first thing in the morning on Thursday, and then I got to get ready for my show. Like, that's a long haul for me. Like, getting through Wednesday nights where we go into, like, 4 in the morning my time, and then I'm up by 7, and then I go all day long, prep for my show, get through my show, get done at midnight, take a quick break, and then I usually go into the board for a few hours, go to bed at 4 in the morning. Like, I'm wiped, man. That's like 2 days of killer for me. Now I can, you know, maybe even sleep in. Who am I kidding? I'm not going to be able to sleep in, but I'm going to try and sleep in on a Saturday. I won't have to get up and go to a meeting at least.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess I should go ahead and set the expectation. We probably won't be on the air 2 weeks from tonight, as we're going to be in Santa Clara, California for AWE. Roots, I didn't think I was going to go to AWE because I didn't think I was going to have time off of work to do it. So I decided like a couple months ago that I just wasn't going to go. And then, you know, when I had the change in employment, now I've got the time to go, but I never applied for a press pass and the registrations were closed. So I thought, well, so much for that. But apparently we have friends in high places and they got shit done for me. And at the last minute, we went straight to the source and they gave me a press pass and it's all good.
That's
we're
awesome.
We're going to California.
That's awesome.
It's awesome when Impact Reality is a registered partner of AWE.
Yeah.
It helps, doesn't it?
Coming in Santa Clara in 2023. Come check it out. 20% off
what
tickets.
You're going to say when you get on stage? You decide what you're going to say?
No, dude, it's like, it literally is like 2 weeks away, and me and Todd have really very little bit scratched the surface on what we're going to do. I mean, I don't know. It's going to be, I mean, I wish it was a panel. It was a panel. I could just sit there and talk all day in a panel. But when you're doing a, like a timed talk, like we have 30 minutes of talk and then we have 10 minutes of QA. I mean, it's tough. We have to time it out right. You have to have it. You have to go, you have to try it out and make sure you don't go like, If you do a speech and you get it all done in 15 minutes and then you have 15 minutes left and you're like, holy shit, I got all this time.
Let's do this. Let's say screw the speech. Let's take three stools, set them up on stage, and let's do podcast discussion format.
I would love it.
Just take questions from the crowd. Like we would thrive in that scenario, right?
100%. I wish they would have let me do that. Literally, because like what we're going to be doing is so far outside of my comfort zone that it's going to be.
Why don't you just open up with a my mom joke? And you're good.
Oh, no, that's going to happen.
I'm going to totally be in the front row heckling the whole time.
Oh, man. I'm going to make Todd do it all. I'm just going to sit back, relax, make Todd do it all. You think that'll fly?
Yes.
I can barely get Todd to talk during our show.
He's going to be looking for his buttons.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
it's true.
He can't hide behind his buttons now. Maybe we get Dee to come out and do it. Do the speech. The talk.
Chinatown D says it's the freaking weekend, yo. That's a good point.
That's true.
Checkmate. Boogna 66, has anyone heard anything about Super Death Game Show VR? I have not. It's the first time I've heard those words in that order. So
is that a game?
Sounds cool.
Death Game Show?
Sounds like a Japanese game, is what that sounds like. Metal Game Cat Solid Fritz is here. Good morning, West Roots and Eric. My kids wake me up so damn early. I'm on time to see you guys.
Nice. Love it.
Nice. What's up, Drippy? Says AWE should be interesting. It should be very interesting. We're going to be there on the floor when the Meta Gaming Showcase goes down. We were talking about it yesterday. We're going to have to go to the Meta booth and watch the Meta Showcase. How awesome
that would be sweet. Or the PlayStation booth. Watch the showcase. See how that goes.
What's up, Jenna? Jeunesse Qua joining us. Guyson, we already said hello to. Brandon's here. Says it's on the PSVR 2 store. What the Death Game Show thing is? That's cool.
Mm.
Is it really?
Yeah, I never heard of it.
Wow, they are letting so much garbage into the PlayStation VR 2 that never would have got through the PlayStation.
It might
1.
Be good. It might be
There's
good.
There's no let's, way this is good. If you and Brian don't even know the name of this title, there's no way it's good. No way.
Well, don't drag Brian into this, man. Brian knows the name of every fucking title. He sends me keys for shit I've never heard of all the time. They were playing Knock earlier, by the way.
That's kind of cool. But I mean, I don't want to get off on this on a tangent here, but come on. The PlayStation Store is almost becoming as bad as Steam. Like, they're letting every game in, man. Like, it's like if you have any kind of a game, they're like, "Yeah, come on in. Bring it in." Like when you get a game like Across the Valley on the PlayStation VR 2, I mean,
you don't like Cactus Cowboy?
Oh my God. How is this happening? Like, what? It used to be PlayStation was a curated walled garden that was tough to get into. Now it's like, what? It's like open
season,
man. Oshiwash now coming to PlayStation VR 2.
PlayStation VR 1 had some shit on it too, Mash.
So what you're saying is they need to have their own App Lab, huh?
Seriously, that's probably a good idea.
Because App Lab has a lot of shit on there that I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole.
Now who would let you touch them with a 10-foot pole?
My mom!
She prefers if it's at least 10-foot. she's wild.
Oh, man.
Anyway, I think most of our audience has shown up. I guess a few will be waking up as we move along through the morning hours overseas. Why don't we get into a little VR talk and start off by talking a little bit about Crime and Mercenary Tales. This is the latest installment from Carbon Studios, who are known for the Wizards series, as well as Warhammer Age of Sigmar Tempestfall. We want to thank Carbon Studios for providing us with early access to this game. Comes out next week on the Quest Store. Not quite sure what the price is on this. I probably should have read that before we went on the air. But Eric, a little bit of a different title from Carbon Studios this time, huh?
Yeah, this is like a pretty good departure. I mean, Age of Sigmar Tempest Fall was like kind of like a hack and slash game type, but it was had magic in it, and it was, you know, a little bit different, you know, quite a bit different actually. But it, you know, did have melee combat, so I guess that's probably the closest thing. But yeah, I mean, to me, this is like the whole idea of it and the story behind it is like a different departure for them than what they've done in the past, either with Wizards or Age of Sigmar Tempest Fall.
Roots, it seems like a melee version of Tarzan to me.
Yeah, actually, it is a lot better than Tarzan, but it definitely very similar in a lot of ways. You know, like, I mean, I actually thought the melee was pretty good. As far as that action, and I hate melee that's scripted to where like I have to do it a certain way. And you didn't, I mean, obviously if they're hitting you, you have to block, but you can hit them from whichever, you can hit them as quick as you can or try to get their legs or, I mean, you're not limited in how you can attack them, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah. The melee action was pretty good. You can't exactly get away with wrist waggle in this one. You do have to parry and counterattack, and the animations are good enough that you can read where the attacks are coming from. But I found it pretty challenging, Eric. I died quite a few times playing through this. You know, one-on-one, these guys are pretty easy to deal with, but when it gets to 2-on-1, 3-on-1, it can be a lot to keep up with.
It can, yeah. And that's when things can get a little wonky too, because, you know, I don't know like how much, I assume this is a pretty close to finished version, but I don't know about you guys, but when I had like more than one enemy, I started clipping into the enemies, and what happens is, yeah, if you get close to things in this game, they do something that's, you know, this is, a lot of developers do this. When you get close to an object, the screen blacks. It's a common tool that they use to let you know that you're in a spot where you're not supposed to be. The problem is that, number one, is extremely off-putting when all of a sudden you clip through a wall and your screen goes black. Or if you get too close to an enemy, and when they're surrounding you and you get too close and your screen goes black and you're like in the middle of combat, that's a problem. But you're absolutely right though. I mean, this isn't one-on-one. This isn't even like until you fall where you get 2 or 3-on-1. Sometimes, you know, in the later levels, I had 7, 8, 9 guys around me, different types of enemies that had different attacks that were trying to hit you at the same time, ranged enemies trying to get you at the same time. So it definitely is not easy, and I did die several times in this game. So,
you know who loves it when she has 9 guys around him?
My mom.
Yeah, she does.
You know, I clipped into the enemies a couple of times. I found it a bigger problem that when you're in the wrong range with the enemies, your parries don't register, and sometimes they can just hit you when you're actually doing the right thing to block it. But Roots, for me, like, I had a pretty good easy time of staying in the proper range in the proper spot. The only exception to that was when I would accidentally hit the teleport. There's no option to let you disable teleport, and they have it tethered to the right stick. So sometimes, you know, you've got 3 guys around you, you're trying to turn with your stick, and sometimes you would accidentally, or at least for me, I would accidentally teleport, and it would put me out of position. And I found that after that would happen, it was kind of hard to regain, you know, my ground where I was supposed to be at. And oftentimes it put me at a disadvantage when fighting.
I didn't seem to have too much problems with a teleport or hitting it by accident, but it was definitely like I've used it to try to move through the environments a little bit faster. Did you get to any of the boss fights, Wes, and stuff? I guess you went through the one level, right? So you did.
Yeah. I fought the vampire chick, which, by the way, pretty funny, man. She gives you shit for like hitting a woman and stuff. I thought it was pretty funny.
I thought that the dial, there was a lot of funny things, like even when you die and it's like giving you shit for like the you're award dead, for doing the worst, dying the worst way or whatever. There was a lot of different you know, good humor in there.
Did you unlock the achievement for most consecutive deaths, Eric?
I did. Yep. I love it when they do that stuff. They're like, and one of them, they keep changing too, so you die, and there's like, here, we're going to give you a hint to get by this. Get good. You know what I mean? So they're like just trying to play with you and stuff. So it is pretty cool, man. This, the dialogue is pretty funny in here, and the voice acting is pretty good, man. And yeah, I mean, I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I did too. You know, it's not going to be a game of the year or anything, but it was amusing during the time I was in there. I gotta say, I was a bit surprised with the visuals. It looked a little better than I was expecting it to look. I thought that this would very much be like a carbon copy, cel-shaded thing, which in some ways it is. But we forgot just how good Carbon Studio is at scale and lighting. And they absolutely kill it here as well. They're absolutely massive structures that you're working your way through. The maps, even though they are linear, have a bit of verticality to them. And the lighting and just general depth, the way they layer things give the environments depth, makes you feel a bit more immersed than you typically do in these cel-shaded games.
Yeah, I agree. It was definitely done very well.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. It's got a cool art style to it. Like, I like it. Like, it's, you know, it's Quest graphics. You know, some things look pretty flat, but the colors all pop, and it does have, like, I think when you said Tarzan, so if you have played Tarzan, it's very much like that. It's got that, like, comic book style of look to it. Like, even the, everything looks hand-drawn, we'll put it that way, but it looks artistic hand-drawn, not like, you know, it looks like it's quality and well-done hand-drawn. Like it's an art style, not that it doesn't look good. You know what I mean? It's done this way purposely. So I think it looks really good. I think it's great. And I do love the levels, man, that, especially some of the later levels, you know, you get to like an Aztec temple and you're going to like a European castle. And then, you know, there's many, many different places, like an old, pirate ship area, like inside a cave, like in the Goonies, which is kind of cool. So this, yeah, the environments look amazing, and the lighting effects were good. So I thought it actually looks really good.
So Roots, when I was going through it, I kept getting vibes of like kind of like Lies Beneath with the way the detail and the art's put together, but I also kept getting vibes of like Arashi with the big massive structures and areas that you're in.
Yeah. Oh, that castle was amazing, right? Like, that's what I was blown away. And what you were saying, it looked so good. I wasn't expecting it. Because even just, you know, I only played through the beginning area and the castle area. But they were completely different from each other. So, Eric, I'm assuming each one is completely different, right? And the stories is cool. That's one of the things that was kind of cool is, like, the fact that you have... I don't know if you noticed, but in the beginning you had a wooden sword, right? And it's like a kid telling a story or whatever. And then when you go to grab it, it turns into a real sword. And it was really cool because it made me feel like a part of the fantasy of being this kid, right? Like you see the wooden sword, you grab it, and it turns in. I thought that transformation was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's cool the way they tell this thing too. It's like reminds me a little bit of Guns and Stories, the way it's kind of told from the perspective of like, so what happens is you have like the central hub, which is a bar area in this place you're in, and you're going in this bar and you're talking to these different characters, and then they're telling you stories, almost kind of like Guns and Stories, or even like Tales from the Galaxy's Edge. You know what I mean? Like, you know, that's like Sleesak, the bartender's telling you a story, and then you go into that story and you kind of like live it. That's the same thing here. You're taking on the character of whoever you're talking to, but during the gameplay, you'll actually hear them talking, like they're talking to somebody in the bar and they're telling the story, and it's like far fetched, and you know they're adding things here, and like when you die, and he's like, oh, I don't remember dying like that or whatever, you know. I mean, it's just cool the way they kind of tell it
that way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, I like the way the story kind of goes, the campaign goes. I like it.
Yeah. So like Roots, I only played through like the initial phase and then the first story. I guess we should probably be a little bit more critical here, because even having played just a little bit of the game, I was already starting to get kind of tired of the gameplay loop by the time I got to the end of the first story. You know, as well done as the combat is, it is very repetitive. It's very arcade-like, where you've got tons of enemies coming up and you're doing the same things over and over and over again. Eric, does that get any better as you progress through the multiple stories?
I mean, it's like every story, they give you a new, either a new weapon or a new fight, a way to fight. So it does change it up a little bit, but the enemy attacks are very much the same. Like you're always going to be, you know, blocking. A lot of the attacks they have are the same. They maybe get a little more intricate, and then instead of it being a single attack, you get three attacks that come all at once, and you have to block in three different directions before you can attack. So it gets a little bit more varied on how they attack. And you have, you know, different enemy styles. You have one enemy that you can't block with your sword because it's like he's using a heavy attack and you can't block it. You have to dodge it, which is kind of cool. But it just seems like every level still seems like, okay, that's the same. That's the same. The only thing that changes up maybe a little bit more as you go through is, remember the game Desperate Vladivostok, where you start to like kill an enemy and then that enemy drops a weapon and you're able to grab that weapon for a few minutes and you kill another enemy and they drop a weapon and you're able to like slow time, grab that weapon. It kind of happens here. Like you get ranged enemies later on in the game. And when you kill one of them, they drop a bow. The bow comes flying in the air and then you can use the bow for a second, or they'll drop like two-shot pistols and you're able to use a pistol for a second. And it's kind of slow motion. You grab it out of the air, kind of like a super hot or Desperate Vladivostok type style. But I don't know exactly what you said. It's very samey. Like I kept thinking to myself getting through this, God, I hope they have the right price on this, because I don't know if there's enough here, if it's expensive, that it would be worth it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's going to be the question with it. And I did look. I didn't see a price anywhere in the literature that I have on this game.
Yeah, I don't
Roots, really, really, really quickly on the range combat and the pistols, I thought that was a pretty cool touch, you know, snatching the pistols out of the air, being able to fire. But did it feel to you like there was maybe an aim assist? Like, either I'm the best shot in the world, or that they're using aim assist.
I thought I was the best shot, man. You're fucking killing me here, no, bro. Roots. I was like thinking I did so good. It did. It seemed like I was crack shot Roots and I couldn't miss. I'll tell you what though, I loved when I got my second melee weapon. That was badass, because then you have like 6-7 guys, like you said, and you're blocking and you're slicing, and it really felt really good and crazy action wise and like I said, I feel like the action, they really got it down. It is a little bit samey, but I mean, I don't know how do they really change that? You know, they've kind of done what they can do, right, by making some of the attacks varied, and they're throwing in these different weapons, and I don't know, as long as it's priced reasonably, I think this is definitely worth checking out and playing through, especially if you like melee games. But the price, like you said, is key.
Mm-hmm.
If you like melee games, if you don't mind an arcade style game, it does have some attitude and it is funny. I would call it a quest game, a slightly above average quest game. What do you think here on pricing, Eric? I would call this, you know, no more than a $20 game. I mean, if they try to charge $25 or $30 for this, I'd probably say wait on a sale. But $20 or less, I'm in.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how long this thing is. I'm probably like 5 or 6 stories in, and that's probably including the tutorial where you play as a little kid. So I don't know. It seems like I was close to being done. Like, I don't know. I don't know that for sure, but did they just say 8 tales?
8 epic tales or so they say.
Okay, so I'm close. I think I'm 6 or 7 in. So
I don't think that, I hope it doesn't include the tutorial.
The little kid? You think the kid was a tutorial?
It was absolutely a tutorial because I died and the game said, hey, this is, you're not supposed to die during the tutorial. And I was like, fuck, man, this game is like roasting me. So
yeah, it's so I think I'm tutorial, 6 beyond though. That. It is. I mean, the way they do it is good. I like they let you play through the tutorial, which is cool.
Yeah, I like it. I like it when games do that and make the tutorial feel like a game and not too much like a class. Although I got to say, the tutorial in the sailing game that we did was just amazing.
It was awesome. I still want to pass the test.
I was gonna say, did you pass the test?
I didn't pass it.
I'm gonna admit I didn't make it past the test.
I've like failed it 3 or 4 times. I need to go back in there.
That's asked if we talked about X8. We didn't. I thought about doing X8, but we already had a full plate today. X8 is available now on Quest and Steam, free to play. Valorant clone, which has had some pretty good reviews so far. So
we should check it out this weekend. Talk about it next week.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Maybe, perhaps. Anyway, speaking of repetitive gameplay, let's move on and talk a little bit about Transformers Beyond Reality, which finally got its free upgrade into PSVR 2. The game boasting a slight resolution bump on PSVR 2, as well as some integration of some of the PSVR 2's features, such as adaptive triggers and advanced haptics. Ritz, I don't know where to start on this, because I do feel like we reviewed this game slightly better than most people. A lot of channels shit on this game, and I thought it was better than I expected in terms of like the progression systems and things in it are pretty good. The gameplay is pretty standard, and these new features that they've added in don't exactly change any of that. It's all pretty standard. It's all pretty much the same thing. Some people would even argue that the adaptive triggers take away from the game.
It's weird because I feel like it added and took away at the same time, because that felt really good. Like even just the shield, like the buzzing of when you would go to push it partially, you could, I mean, it felt really good. You can, it was amazing, but the shooting, like because the triggers weren't so loose, I guess it was like, man, fuck, it's not automatic. I'm squeezing this trigger. My finger's getting tired. And I feel like we were bamboozled by the bad graphics of the PlayStation VR 1 in a way that it was like, and I said this the other day, I was like, did we really think the gameplay was as good as we thought it was? Or did we not see it as bad as it was because we saw so glaringly how blurry everything was, and we kind of gave it a pass, right? We said, well, clearly the game will be better when it's looks better. I don't know that it is, Wes. I felt like, okay, now that I can see what's going on a little bit better, and let me add just a little bit better, what am I doing here? Like, you know what I mean? I don't know. I played through the first boss thing, and I didn't feel like I wanted to play much more. And we did. Yeah. We reviewed it a lot better than we probably should have.
Eric, I hate to just jump right to the chase here with this game, but it's kind of hard to tiptoe around it. I do feel like this is a game that we liked, and this is a slightly better version of it than we originally played. I think what the problem is here is that we have so much better shit to play now than we did when this came out. Like when I was in here playing this, and I started after the first level, I went, you know, and kept playing, and I started to have a little bit more fun with it. I adapted to the triggers so that if you don't fully extend the trigger, it won't make your hand so tired. If you let your finger all the way off of it, you have to click through to shoot every time. But if you just do like a half pull out and then click again, you don't have to push through that, and your finger doesn't get nearly as tired. But Eric, the thing I kept thinking as I was playing through this is I would much rather be playing Runner. You know what I mean? Because Runner's the same type of game, and it's a lot better than this.
Yeah, I hate this fucking game. And I actually reviewed it. We did review it good, and I actually I thought it was okay. That was pretty good on PlayStation VR 1. And I went back in today and I'm like, wow, I really don't like this game at all. Like, I don't have any fun in here at all. And it's a mixture, I think. Like, I think for when we were playing before, we didn't have the cool adaptive triggers. We didn't have everything we know we have now. So now when I look at it, all the glaringly, the problems that were this game are so glaringly bad now that I'm like, this game just does not good enough now. It's not good enough. Like, you can't just port this game over and be like this and then be fine, because it's not even the gameplay that bugs me. It's the adaptive triggers on shooting, and then the shooting itself. And, you know, and Wes, we go through this with Impact Reality when we're telling games what to do. The shooting is unsatisfying because the hit detection is not satisfying. The way the gun sounds is not satisfying. The way when things explode are not satisfying.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but some of the enemies you kill and they explode right in front of your face and they make no sound at all. I mean, it's none. Fucking silent.
Yeah, you need to have, like, if it gave me feedback, like, and it made a badass sound when I shoot this gun, this literally is a pew 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 game. That's all. It's like pew pew pew. That's what it feels like, and it's like nothing there, and it happened, and it is still a hard trigger pull with the new controller, and it makes it even seem even cheesier than it was before. So now it's like twice as bad. So I'm shooting it, and I'm like, wow, this is so boring. Even the Gatling gun, which is supposed to be badass when you're shooting it, it just isn't. It feels like a pea shooter. It's like nothing. And then it's boring. Then the repetitive enemies are just boring after boring enemy. Nothing changes.
Yeah. So they certainly could have done a better job with the feedback. I mean, not only could they have done a lot better job with the sound effects, but they could have really used that headset rumble and made you feel the impact when you're, I mean, you're in a firefight. Sometimes there's freaking 20 enemies in your area and shit's blowing up all around you, but it just doesn't quite feel like that.
But the shield feels good. That one adaptive trigger I kept doing, I was like, man, that feels really good. Like, they nailed that. Kudos to whoever. And there's again, one guy on that team that did a good job on that.
Yeah, right. He was in charge of one
thing. He was in charge. He's like, I did a good job.
For what it's worth, I did enjoy my time in it. I don't know how much I'll be going back to it. I do like the progression system in the game that rewards you for practicing the levels and killing more enemies. But again, I think that we're past this now, Roots. I think that we're past the point where games like this deserve any of my time. Like, we have enough great games now. We've said, like, the last 3 weeks in a row, I'm done with sixes, right? And I feel like that's what this game is. This is a pretty solid 6 out of 10.
I don't even know if it's six. This is the thing. I agree with GT, man. This is the Transformers. You know, this is like a big IP, and this is exactly why I want to have full-fledged real games of big IPs, not these wave shooter type of things. Or if you're going to do it, make it special. And I'm kind of like MASH. I felt like I didn't enjoy my time in it this time. And it was weird. It was a weird feeling because I thought the same thing, as I was like, man, why is this different for me? Oh, I can see what's going on now. And I guess it's what you said, the glaring issues with everything being so good in that hardware that we have now. It just makes the game look even worse. But the shield felt good. Yeah.
Runner on PSVR 2, everything feels great.
Yeah, like, exactly.
The guns all feel different and very impactful. The haptics are awesome. Looks good. Sound effects. And that's a $15 game. You know what I mean? I think this is like, what, $20, $25, something like that?
Yeah.
And then not recommend at $25. No way.
What did you think about the comic book part of it, too? I thought that kind of was like, we've seen so many games that have like such cool comics, you know, and it's like you're like, wow. And then I just felt like it was, I don't know, man, it just felt weird to me.
I didn't mind that so much. I thought that the story segments were actually okay. I thought the voice acting was good for what it was.
Yeah, the voice acting was good. It's just the visuals of the comic book were just kind of generic.
They would have been better off making it like a comic book, like making it like pages of like you're opening a comic book. Like the way they did it, like with this like black void around you, and you had these little comic book like boxes, just didn't make any sense to me. And then you have this little thing you click at the bottom to move forward. Like if it was a big like comic book that opened up and then the pages turn and you see the scenes come out of that, that would have been cool. This wasn't cool.
Yeah, I mean, it was all right. I didn't hate it. It reminded me a little bit of Swarm, the way Swarm does the storytelling. But this is not as good a game as Swarm. Swarm, I recommend it, $30. This is $25. I just confirmed this is a $25 game, and I can't recommend it. Now, if you already have this in your PSVR library, absolutely get your free upgrade. Try it out. If you like the first one, this is a little better. But again, there's better stuff to play now. If you're a Transformers like super fan, you might enjoy it, and it's got good progression and stuff to keep you coming back. It's just the gameplay itself doesn't really make you inspire me to get back in.
Why do you think they can't, like some of these games, they can't seem to make the graphics look like it's on a PS5, like, and this isn't the most graphically challenging program. You know what I mean? Like, you see games like this, and they just don't. I don't know. It's like, it's weird to me. You know,
it seems like a 2016 VR game, 2016, mm-hmm. 2017 VR game to me.
And, yeah, maybe it was sitting on a shelf.
If this had come
out
back then, we probably would have loved this game back then. But we're in 2023 now. The Sony showcase is next week, and this is going to be the furthest thing from our mind when we're watching that.
Yeah, for real.
You know what's not going to be the furthest thing from our mind when we're watching that is fucking Red Matter 2 on the PSVR 2. Now, here we're talking. This is a game that we loved on Quest. How often do we say that? We love this game on Quest. It won our Quest Game of the Year last year over the likes of Bone Lab and another handful of awesome titles. This was an already great game, Eric, coming over to PSVR 2. I was not expecting it to be this much fucking better on PSVR 2. I played through this game entirely again, and this is a fucking linear puzzle game. I played all the way through it again because I loved it so much.
This game is, I don't know how they every time I'm like, wow, they can't do better than they did here. They freaking do better. Like you're like, there's no way they can make this thing look this good on a Quest 2. How do they do it? And then they do it and it's amazing. And then they come out with Red Matter 2 and it's like even better. And then like, they come out with the PlayStation, you know, VR 2 version. I'm like, it's probably just going to be the Quest port, right? And it's not. It's like complete. It's, this is the PC version that we've wanted. This is exactly what this is, but it's got OLED. It's got OLED screens on it, and freaking the colors look amazing. And I don't know.
Detail.
I, you know what I get?
Detail's
I, like,
ridiculous.
Yeah. You know what I get? The vibes I get with this, I get Lone Echo vibes. It's that good. Like it. And Lone Echo is like, to me, it's like a cut above a lot of games. I mean, maybe it's not Half-Life Alyx, but man, it was cinematically one of the best looking games I've ever seen. Lone Echo 1 and Lone Echo 2. And this is that, you know, this is that. This is Lone Echo for me. I mean, especially some of the outdoor scenes you see in the beginning, but even the interior scenes, you know, the face models of, you know, some of the people that you're talking to, the beta that you're talking to, it looks amazing. It looks everything. You're right. The details, everything looks really good.
Roots. You look at some of these character models, even the holograms, and there you can see the pores in their face and shit. It's really something else to be experiencing something that looks like this on a console. Even crazier to think that they have 3 full-time people on their team, and you know, they brought in a few more. The entire credits are all on one screen at the end. Like, just a handful of people worked on this. Although I got to be honest, I think these characters use Botox because their lips just don't quite move the way that they should move when they're talking. Like, it doesn't match up for me.
Yeah, it's about the only critique I would say as far as that goes. But I thought that everything looked amazing, and it just blew me away.
Detail, man. When you first step off of that ship and you look up at the giant planet in the sky, and it's got like moving gas around it, just effects that are on another level. From anything else that we've seen. And that's incredible to say again, because this is an indie game from a small team. I can't say enough good things about it. The soundtrack, talk about the soundtrack, Roots. How good is it?
Oh, it's amazing. Just not only the music or like the sound, the music, but just, sound in general, right? Everything, is amazing. I was going to say,
Eric.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, I forgot what I was going to say.
Space Citizen asked if I played on PC. I did. I did play it on PC. This is one of my favorite games that came out last year. I absolutely love it. It's the best version, though. This is the best version. Because not only does it have all the production values, you know, it's 120 hertz native with probably the most detailed graphically looking game that I've seen. And the gameplay, Eric, is awesome. And it doesn't just give you everything right up front. Like, the game starts relatively slow, and as you progress, the gameplay evolves and it becomes more and more deep in terms of the things that you're doing. And, you know, as the gameplay evolves, so does the story. I mean, it really is a step above most other games.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason that this was, you know, the Quest Game of the Year last year. I mean, it's that freaking good, and they just made it a ton better. You know what I mean? And to me, I think this is hands down even better than the PC version because it's so smooth. Like, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I mean, it just feels smoother. Everything runs so butter smooth with this. You know, I don't know. It's a different feeling for me on PC than the PlayStation VR 2. It's just hands down the best way to play it.
Well, that's the biggest difference, Roots, is how it feels to play it. Like, obviously, it looks better because they use the dynamic foveated rendering to make it super sharp. But the biggest difference is how it feels to play it. You know, they fully utilize the potential of the controllers and the adaptive triggers. And I don't know if I've played another game that uses the headset rumble so effectively as this game. When you're riding on a train or something in this, it feels like you should feel when you're riding on a train.
Yeah. Yeah, that and the adaptive triggers, just pretty much all of that. God, man, I keep thinking of something that I was going to say earlier, and then it just goes out in my brain. And it's weird, man.
All right. So it's Colorado time then. We're all going to put ourselves on Roots' level.
Nice.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it was there and it was gone. So, but no, I definitely think this is definitely the definitive best way to play this game, for sure. Wait, hands down, better than PC version.
Can I ask you guys a question? Do you still have your brightness turned down on your PlayStation VR 2s? Did you turn it up for this or anything?
I turned it up for a minute, but it was knocking my eyeballs out at 75%. Like, I turned it up just so I could kind of take it all in and be awe-inspired by it because it's so bright already. But I've kept it around 75% most of the time I played.
Yeah, mine's usually kept down. I turned it down a while back and just kept it there.
I never lowered mine at all. I've never have since the beginning. So I always play everything on the brightest possible settings. And I don't know, it just wows me every time. And like, but I never have an issue with it. Like I don't see a lot of the other stuff that people see with that. So
you said you're getting old though. Your eyes aren't working as good, right? So
yeah. How dare you? How dare you?
So yeah, you're talking about the screen persistence issue, and really that just manifests itself for some people in the form of discomfort. Like my wife, she gets a headache every time she plays PlayStation VR 2. I don't notice it. I keep my brightness down just because it's unnecessarily bright. Like you don't have to have it up all the way. But it's almost up all the way. Like I said, it's really 75-80% where I keep mine at. Spry guy in the chat says West dropping F bombs. It must be good. It's so fucking good, dude. It's awesome. I expected that. I mean, we already knew this was a great game. I expected to be over here gushing about it the way I am. What I didn't expect to come in here and say is I think that this belongs in the conversation for PSVR 2 Game of the Year. This deserves to be in the conversation with those games, with Horizon, with Resident Evil 8, with Gran Turismo. I think this is on that quality level. I think the only thing that might hold it back here, Eric, is it's a six-hour game, if that.
Yeah, I mean, Horizon's not much longer, I don't think, and that's definitely going to be considered Game of the Year. I think you're right. It has to be considered Game of the Year. I think the only thing that will hold it back is its support. Because if this was a new game that people have never played before, it could very well win. Like I think it was a really good shot. It would win. I don't know. 6 hours for this quality, 6 hours, I'm fine. You know, and some people will have more difficulty with the puzzles and might take them 7 hours, than some.
Did you get through it?
No, I have not. I have not finished this game yet. I just haven't had the time to finish. I will. I definitely will. And I'm glad because I will finish it. I will finish it on the PlayStation VR 2 for sure. This is the way I'm going to play it.
I insist that you finish this game. You need to see how it ends.
Nice.
You at least need to make it through some of the combat parts.
How crazy is it that you're saying that? Because I think the first game, that was the biggest letdown was the story. It was all disjointed and it was okay, but it was definitely not like something that you had to play through. And I felt I haven't played through nearly as much as you have, obviously, but I already feel like the story is so much better in this one. Like, cause it really is already grabbing me. Right. So.
Once you see how it ends, dude, it's so cool. My first platinum trophy. I didn't even realize that I had it. And I was in chat with AJ earlier and he said, I just finished this game and I platinumed it. And I thought, wait a minute, I just fucking finished this game. I don't remember getting a platinum trophy. And I went and looked, and I've got one. My first ever platinum trophy, Red Magic.
Wow, look at you.
Yeah, man, it's cool.
Did you craft an eyeball?
I did craft an eyeball. Yes. I found the vertical robot. That's one of the more rare trophies in the game is finding the vertical robot and scanning it. I scan everything, dude. And for what it's worth, you can find some little cool Easter eggs and things if you're scanning stuff in this game. For example, did either of you get the gun? Did you make it to the combat parts?
I have no.
Oh, dude.
How far in is that? It might be close.
A little over halfway through the game. You play through the caves, like the mines. And at the end of the mines, there's a big section they call Ground Zero. And there's some puzzles in there. And by the time you wrap up that section, you get like an awesome cinematic. And then you have the gun. And there's something that happens in there. I don't want to give it away now because you guys haven't played it. You scan something in there and it'll give you like some ones and zeros to come up on your scanner. And that's actually binary. And I mean, it's not anything super significant, but it's a cool detail. You can take that binary, plug it into Google, and it'll tell you what it's saying.
Cool.
And it's just cool that they put things in there on that level to me. Mm. It's nothing groundbreaking or anything. It's just cool that they're doing stuff like that in this game, you know?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, is the gunplay like Lone Echo 2, where they kind of like put a gun in there to give you more of something to do? And it was because that was one of my only complaints with Lone Echo 2 was like the gun itself in Lone Echo 2 was like they put it in there because people were like, you know, well, how come we don't have a gun in Lone Echo? And then they put it in Lone Echo 2, but it was almost like they put it in begrudgingly. You know what I mean? Is it more than that here?
It's done in the same vein. I feel like that they are putting it in to add something to the gameplay. It's the game certainly doesn't become a shooter primarily. But it's done better than Lone Echo. It's done like way better than the way Lone Echo did it. It is just one weapon. It's an energy weapon. The adaptive triggers are really cool because when the thing overheats, that the trigger gets harder to pull. But it's cool, man. I mean, like they have I think three different enemy types in the game. It's not something that's like super shoot heavy. It's not a pew pew pew. But by the time you get to the last level of the game, it's very combat heavy and you have to take cover and you have to fight your way out of a lot of situations, and it's just cool. It adds a lot to the gameplay, I feel like, in the later chapters. Brock Spro in the chat says both endings blew my mind. The game made me kind of existential. I mean, hate to derail the topic of the show, but wow, I can't believe I hadn't played it until now. So I guess both endings, I guess you're talking about the first game and the second game. Because I've beat this game twice and got the same ending both times. So hopefully there's not another ending here. I have to go back and find.
Yeah, I don't know.
That would be cool though.
Yeah, I don't know about the ending on the second. I know Old Darth says the story in the first one was good except for the ending. But see, that's my problem. If I'm watching a movie or a story and I get to the end and the ending sucks, then I believe the whole fucking thing sucked because it drew me through expecting to have some ending to some finality in it. And it just didn't. It was kind of like, it was weird to me. So I don't know. I feel like this story is already better than the first one. But
Bragsbro's talking about virtual reality. He's not even talking about it.
Oh God. I thought the second one.
Oh man.
Man, it was a little rough.
Old Darth says, if I was Sony or Meta, I would lock this studio up. 1,000%. It's crazy that this studio hasn't been bought up yet. These guys are so talented. Norman Schar is a friggin' wizard, modifying Unreal Engine to make it work in VR, much like it works outside of VR. How about the texture on everything, man? Rocks look like rocks. Steel looks like steel. Glass looks like glass. Roots, did you notice if you take the screen on the scanner and kind of shine it in the light, it has smudges and fingerprints on it?
I did. And actually, that's one of the things that's the coolest thing. It's like when you look through glass, you know, nothing's pristine and perfect. And if you look at old school games in 2016, all the walls were perfect and shiny, and there was no glass with scratches on it. I definitely think it adds a lot. And I think it's really cool.
Yeah, Eric, I don't know what else I could say about this game. I almost want to make you boot it up right now and finish it right in front of us because
I know
it's so good. But yeah. I don't want to spoil it. I don't want to spoil it, so we probably shouldn't do that. But
no,
I
need to I need to finish it. I will. Yes, I'll finish this one. Here's the deal. You go finish Lone Echo 2, and I'll go finish this.
Well, I'll finish Lone Echo 2 after I finish Resident Evil Village and The Walking Dead, Saints and Sinners, Chapter 2, Retribution. Those
I
are
feel good
that
I almost
list.
Finished Crimen. I mean, maybe. I think I'm close.
I think if Sony gives us enough time, I think we should start revisiting some of these games that we started, some of these Game of the Year contenders, so we're not cramming them all at the end of the year. Because I definitely want to finish all these games, and, you know, typically we just have time to play what we're... you know, what we're covering. So I guess we're just going to have to cover this shit all over again. Especially Gran Turismo 7. Were you even in when we did Grand GT 7?
No, I don't remember.
You were busy. You were busy during that time.
I mean, I've talked about it a ton, like, but I don't know if we ever talked about it here. But yeah, I'm loving Gran Turismo 7. I'm still playing it.
I say we start with that and then
use the wheel.
We've never played together. Like all three of us should go in a race.
I've never played multiplayer.
It's great. I had a lot of fun. We can go in. We can get in with the community. I mean, we can get in just us. I mean, it's a lot of fun. And I actually went and bought a shifter, Wes, just because I freaking saw Z-Storm using a shifter on his wheel and pedal and having so much fun doing it. I went and bought the shifter.
How's it working? Listen to Eric.
I actually
this
haven't had a chance to use it yet.
Thinks
I literally
that he is better than us.
I literally got it right before I went away in March, and then when I got back, I've only had the chance to get back in one time, and we were racing, and I didn't have it set up for the shifter where it was automatic. But I want to do it.
Yeah, I'm down, bro. Like I said, if we wait too long to get in and finish these games, Sony and Meta are just going to fucking load our schedule up, and we're going to be doing what we did last year and trying to have Christmas and play through a bunch of games all at the end of the year. And I want to enjoy these games. These are the best games that we've ever seen. I mean, literally, these are the best games we've ever seen this year, and they deserve our full time and attention, I feel like.
Old Darth says he finds that Reprojection in GT7 and Call of the Mountain are better now than it was at launch.
That could very well be true. I don't know. I mean, there's things we could say on this, but I don't know exactly what I'm allowed to say and what I'm not allowed to say. But I'm just going to leave it at that could get much better now and in the future. The the Reprojection on PlayStation could get a lot better. So just be on the lookout for that.
I do want to add, Wes, that there's no fucking way would I walk through and scan everything in this place. I'm begrudgingly pissed off that I have to scan everything to, you know, like.
I love it.
I'm like, man, dude, I got to scan another fucking sign. Oh, and it says that this is a table or, you know, some stupid stuff. I'm like, oh, I'm glad I scanned that, you know. Yeah.
I like the scanner, although I didn't scan every fucking table and everything, but. I love the scanner. I love the story. I like the fucking hallucination sequences. I think they're awesome. And again, visually, just fucking colorful and detailed and butter smooth. Just an exceptional technical achievement, this game, on every platform. It's a must play no matter what platform you're playing on. But again, without a shadow of a doubt, the best version of this game is on PlayStation VR 2.
Game of the year. Oh wait, it's going against so many games. It's almost impossible, but it'll be there.
Old Darth says I'm a tease. Hey, look, man, I got to protect my sources here. I feel like if I get too
lippy,
we might get people in trouble, and I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying,
Wes, do you find things harder even now that you work in the industry too, and then you like know so much stuff that you even now?
Yeah, it's getting more difficult. Not even just since I'm working in the industry, but since I've been on with like Without Parole, people are a little more likely to share things with me. And you have to come on, and you know, we're doing 4 shows a week, and we have to come on here and pretend like our knowledge is on the level of the general public sometimes when we know things that we can't talk about.
Yeah,
it's hard.
like we just got access to a game on the Quest 2 that we can't talk about, but it's gonna freaking blow people's minds, dude.
I'm probably gonna go play that tonight, honestly.
I was thinking I might want to go do that too.
Is that
I've got
the one
two or three
the
games
key
on,
you gave
on
me
Quest now that I need to play? No. No, it's not.
Else. Okay.
It's something else. It's actually something else. But that too. I don't think we have to be too quiet about that. We're covering Everslot Invasion next week, people. We all got keys, and it's a co-op Everslot. And I haven't played it yet, but I'm very much looking forward to getting in there and checking out with you guys this week.
Yeah, heck yeah, that's gonna be awesome.
Pixbro wants to know what I know about Spider-Man 2 in VR. I don't think we're getting Spider-Man in VR. I really don't. I think that I think it's much more likely that we get Stormland on PSVR 2.
That would be cool.
And then Wolverine makes more sense to me.
I was just going to say Wolverine would be a good one too. Or any Marvel game. Give us any Marvel. Give us an Avengers game.
Yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, people would fucking lose their shit for that. Yeah. Roots. What would you think if we got Guardians of the Galaxy?
If it's multiplayer, I want to be Groot. That'd be cool.
Well, you got it. You called it. You know what I've been playing? You know, we're going to sign off here pretty soon. I don't think we can recommend this strongly enough. This is a $30 game on all platforms. Buy it now. Play it now. It's out yesterday. It actually came out yesterday, so it's available now. Must play title, Game of the Year contender on PlayStation VR 2. We typically... like Eric was alluding to earlier, we typically won't give a port overall game of the year, or we haven't to this point, but it's definitely a PSVR 2 game of the year contender at this point. Wouldn't it be weird, Eric, if this won the PSVR 2 game of the year, but then like another PSVR 2 game won the overall game of the year because it's an original game and not a port?
It was weird because this did win game of the Quest 2 game of the year last year, but it didn't win the overall game of the year last year. So, right. Yeah, that would be
could be one of those situations like that year when the Walking Dead Saints and Sinners won game of the year, but the best version of any game that year was the PC game of the year, which was Half-Life Alyx.
Right.
But we gave it to Saints and Sinners that year because it was so awesome on every platform, you know. Mm.
Yep.
Anyway, really quickly, I played four games this week. These three plus one more. You know what else I played?
Firmament.
Well, I don't even count that one. I got back into Zombieland for an hour last night.
Did you really?
I did.
Did you beat any of my scores?
I beat all your scores.
You didn't go. Did you go back in after we talked on Q2C and then beat all the ones?
Yeah, I did.
No way, dude. I
went in last night. Yeah, I went in last night and played another hour while I was downloading something on another headset or something. And I said, well, you know what? Damn. Let's just go in and warm up on some Zombieland. And I played through all of the first three levels and then all of the second three levels. Mm. And I didn't just beat you, Eric. I beat everybody on my friends list. Except for GT on that first level.
Where he's got 17 seconds to beat the level?
Yeah. Oh, I'm coming for that. I'm coming for that. I just haven't gone back to it yet.
I've got the second shotgun unlocked now.
that's right.
He doesn't know which ones are my scores, right? Like some of these scores you think are yours could... No, they're not mine. I am not even going to pretend. I do okay, but I'm not crack shot West level.
It's all about strategy and execution. It's about having the right weapons, learning the level, and then practicing it enough to execute at the end.
You already lost me at learning and practicing. I just go through. I want to get through. How do I get through to the end of this level and say, I did it? So,
well, that's the great thing about this game is that you can learn and practice in it quickly because the levels are so short. Like, again, I only played for an hour last night and it ended up taking the leaderboards on all those levels I played. So
it's like, such a good game you can just pick up for an hour. Like it's one. Yeah. I like those games. Like I went in the other night. I was testing out a headset the other day. I got this DPVR headset.
You know who loves that headset?
Yeah, double play.
My mom.
So I went in there. I'm just looking for games I could try just to see what it looked like. And I went into Mother Gunship Forge, and I was ended up being in there for like 45 minutes to an hour because I started a run, and I'm like, oh, this is going pretty well. And all of a sudden, I get 3/4 of the way through. I'm like, well, I can't stop now. You know, so all of a sudden, it was almost an hour I was in there, and I was meant to be in there for 10 minutes just testing something. You know, so I love those games you can just pick up and play.
And every level now has a B-side, which I haven't played any of the B-side remix levels yet, but they're all there. As soon as you beat a level, they give you an alternate route through it, which is like having a whole new level the way this game's put together.
Yeah.
It's really good, and it's by far, it's one of those games where you're like, well, it's just a Quest port. It's not. It's so much better on that platform, I think, than the other ones. I love it, man, and I'm going to stream it now tomorrow night and beat all your scores.
You need to beat D's scores, because she said she played some Zombieland before work today, and Spry says, did you knock any of Eric's scores? And she said, of course, but she can't touch Wes's scores yet. And I stress yet. We got it. No, right. She knocked all your scores. Dude, you just had two people just bitch slap you, Eric. What are you going to do? You going to stand up and you going to beat these scores or what?
Oh, it's on, bro. It is on. I am going to scream it all night tomorrow night. Damn, I'm coming for your scores.
You screamed, D. You screamed.
Just drop your pants now. It's all over. All over.
Really quickly, since we're talking about your favorite arcade shooters, they've got Mother Gunship bundled up right now. Hold on, let me get this pulled up. So
there's a couple of good, really good sales going on right now.
Yeah,
I played Swarm the other night, and that game is.
I think we might.
Yeah. Swarm 2 is coming through. Awesome. So you ready for Swarm 2?
I am.
I think we need to do free stuff and killer deals this week. There's so much, so many good deals, and there's some awesome free stuff available right now as well. I think we might have to do that this Sunday. But let's see here. I wanted to highlight this one bundle. All right. Well, first of all, Journey of the Gods is on the daily deal right now for $18. So if anybody doesn't have that yet, you might want to go grab it. Phantom Covert Ops, Mother Gunship Forge, Drop Dead the Cabin, 40% off.
That's in a bundle?
That's in a bundle right now. It ends in 2 days.
Wow.
And it looks like... I don't know what the price is. I got to put it in a private browser because I already own these titles, so I can't see what the real price is. But let me see. $47.99 for those three games.
Wow, that's Mother Gunship Forge, Phantom Covert Ops, and what was the third one?
Drop Dead the Cabin.
Wow,
that's a new game. I mean, that's a new co-op zombie shooter. A game, that's honestly, awesome. That we criminally undercovered. Like, I enjoyed my time in it, but I only played by myself. I didn't play with people.
I know. That was another one that D was a crack shot in, man. She's got some of the best scores in that game, too.
Yeah, I can't touch her scores in that game. I'll give her that. She's good at Drop Dead the Cabin.
I still need to go back and I haven't finished Switchback yet.
Hmm. Yeah. See, this is my point. We got to get back into these games, man, because... they're too good not to play all the way
through.
Anyway, I think that's our show for tonight. I want to thank everyone who stayed up late and kept drinking when they wanted to pass out on this fine Friday night. Eric Roots, I want to thank you for hanging out and making such a good show with me, guys. It was fun.
We did it.
Hell yeah. That was awesome, man. That was awesome. Did it. Liked the Fridays, man.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be good for everybody except for your wife.
We went so this show was originally the Monday show, and then it was the Wednesday show, and now it's the Friday show.
Yeah, it's just moving every other day. It'll eventually be on Sunday. It'll be a back-to-back double header.
You know, that's where we started at. If you'll remember, Roots, the reason we started doing a second show is because we were trying to do it all on Sunday. So we broke the game reviews out and made it its own thing. And we're almost full circle now.
History was made. It's made again.
Rex Rose says, wait, Pop 1 is free to play now? Bro, you got to start watching us on Sunday.
It's absolutely free to play. And
now for about over a month now, probably, or more.
How's it doing?
Probably pretty 2 months.
It's one of the best games in VR. I can tell you that unequivocally. And I haven't even tried any of the user-created content in it yet. Like, people are doing custom maps and shit. It's fully moddable now. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure it's great.
Yeah, that's true. And it's free. That's the most important thing to people coming into VR.
This is what I like about Friday. So we're here. It's 20 minutes till 2 a.m. At this point on Wednesday, we would not have even said hello to the chat yet.
Like, that's true. And now we can go. Now we can go play something. Roots, you could actually stream right now.
I could.
It's
a little late.
It's only like what?
Start
it's 11:30.
That's true.
It's 10:30, right? No, 11:30.
That's 11:30.
You're early.
Yeah, so it's an early night.
I'm definitely.
Who wants to go into Ghost of Tabor and do some runs in Ghost of Tabor?
I got it's getting late for me, but
come on, man. Is there,
come on, man.
Come on, man.
If we can
play
get
something,
yeah,
where might be it.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you all for hanging out with us. Tune in 2 days when we're going to catch up on the news. We didn't do the news last week, so we're going to get caught up this Sunday. And then next week, we've got the Sony PS5 showcase. The week after that, we've got the MetaQuest Gaming Showcase. Then we've got the Upload Showcase. We've got Summer Games Fest, the Future Game Show. It's about to hit the fan. If you haven't already, click that subscribe button and ring that bell, because it's exciting times and you need friends to share it with.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, if you really do need friends to share it with, Discord, there's an invitation to you down below. This is where we hang out 24/7, 365. It's the best. It's the first place you hear about news typically, or at least that's where, you know, true for me. First place I hear about things is typically on Discord. But so much more going on there, you know, multiplayer games, people talking about TV, music, movies, police chases. We got it all right there, all for free. Yeah. So join us.
Best of the live police chases, right?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Braxbro says we wish listing anything. Well, I mean, it's always a good thing to do, but that's a Sunday thing. We'll be back. Maybe we should wish list two this week, Roots, because we missed last week.
Yeah, that's true. I guess, and we got some games on tonight. We could wish list Crimen, Mercenary Tales,
yeah,
right?
100%. There you go. There's one right there.
It's perfect.
There you go. It's out next week, by the way.
As long as it's under $20.
Yeah, I wish we knew the price, right?
2 days. If not sooner. Bye.